Luke 15, beginning with verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors. That's the size of this party, not just his friends. He's telling the neighbors to come over too. And he says, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Amen. So, word of the Lord. One of Jesus' own parables from the Gospel of Luke. And I believe what this passage teaches to us, and combining that together with Good Friday, is we learn from a passage like this about the cross of Jesus Christ and the joy of his calling. That's what I'm going to share with you, want to share with you about briefly tonight, the cross of Jesus and the joy of his calling. And, you know, you think of things that you're unable to keep apart from one another. That's how, what this passage got me thinking about for me. As you think about things that you cannot keep apart from one another, for me, that is a bag of cookies. Myself and a bag of cookies, right? If you spend any amount of time around me, you'll know by now, I know myself so well that there's no point in grabbing just one cookie, especially if they're the crispy, I don't do soft cookies, can't do those, but if they're the hard, crunchy ones like Chips Ahoy, you don't take those one at a time. You take those in stacks, right? Why? Because I know I'll be coming back if I just take one cookie, right? You will not be able to separate me from that bag. Or dudes from a car show. You know, if you're driving down the road and there's a pop-up car show, doesn't matter what you got planned, the guy is like, "Check it out. You know, we got to just, let's just take a quick spin through, you know, the car show. I want to see what kind of vehicles I got over there." For you ladies, it's probably a clothing sale, you know? Like, "Oh, clothing sale." You're like, "You got plenty of clothes." But you never know. You might find something you like. You might just find something you like. My wife was in Walmart the other day, and they have these winterized blankets on sale that have a battery inside of them that you can charge up, which is perfect for a girl from Alabama. And they were normally like $85, and you know how cheap I am. I can make a penny scream on both sides from pinching it so hard, is the old joke, right? But they were on sale for like $30. And so Beth was running over there, and there was another lady on the phone like, "There's only 5 left. Do you want black or gray?" You know, and so everyone was swarming this aisle. But ladies in a clothing sale, you never know. Maybe you'll find something you like, right? You can't separate these things. Or if you're a kid, if you're like me when I was little, it's an arcade, right? You're at the mall, suddenly you're on a boring trip with mom and dad, and there's an arcade, and it's the glowing lights, right? They just sort of draw you in, you know? Maybe they have Galaga, or maybe they have Pac-Man, or I don't know, whatever games you hope the arcade places have. My daughter Mariana loves the claw drop things, you know, where those are tons of fun, right? What can you win out of the claw drop machine, right? Anyway, all these things, they have sort of a magnetic attraction. It's like a fifth law of physics or something like that. But here on the Word of God, what I hope for us to be strengthened by this evening is that the point that is made plain is that Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, will not be kept from what? Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, will not be kept from seeking his lost sheep. The same law of attraction, though it is not from some external force, it's actually the Son of God himself. He will not be kept from seeking his sheep that are lost. So the Bible puts together for us both the cross on which Jesus died and his calling of sinners to repentance. The Bible holds these two things together, the cross on which Jesus died and the calling of sinners to repentance. The cross on which he died leads him to his calling in which he delights, the calling of lost sheep to repentance. So as we look at that, I think we are encouraged tonight and instructed to make sure that we not separate what God himself has brought together, the cross of Jesus on which he died and his desire to call sinners to repentance. We don't want to separate those things. We want to be strengthened by those things. And we want to make sure that we are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ accordingly to the heart that Jesus himself has to bring people to himself. So We'll hear from our Lord, and then we'll hope in the Lord, and we'll talk about having a heart like the Lord as we look at this. So first of all, let's hear from the Lord, verse 1 through 4. We see there Jesus, he tells this parable. The Bible again says, now the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to him. These were not the kind of people you'd want to make friends with. These are not the kind of people who were easy to love. These would have been people who were quite rather unlovely, had probably done their fair share of harm in their day, and they are drawing near to Jesus Christ. Verse 2, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So Jesus told them this parable, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? So we begin tonight by hearing from our Lord. Just like Peter tried to keep Jesus from the cross, we remember him doing that. We have these Pharisees, they tried to keep Jesus from people. All right? Everyone's always trying to keep Jesus where they think he should be or where he should be. Praise God, Jesus has never taken off course, right? You know, the only thing that's really done fast in the Bible is the race to see who can put their foot in their mouth the fastest. And you find a lot of that, which is good, because if you're like me, you have had occasion where you have, you know, you knew exactly what needed to take place, and it turned out it was you exactly did not know what needed to take place. And so on the one hand, when we encounter Jesus in the Gospels, we have attempts where people are trying to, there's attempts to keep people from Jesus. But on the other hand, we're reading of attempts to keep Jesus from people, right? So the attempts to keep people from Jesus are like the apostles, remember with the kids. You know, you can imagine Jesus, he's teaching one day, he says the kingdom of God is like the smallest of all the trees. And then, you know, you see the apostles off in the background. Instead of welcoming people in, they're acting like bouncers and they're turning people away. And you imagine Jesus being like, excuse me one second, I'll be right back, you know. And then he has to go tell the apostles, says, what are you doing? We're helping you, Jesus. And he says, well, stop helping me. The kingdom of God belongs to children such as these, right? And so you have the apostles who, on the one hand, were trying to keep people from Jesus. But again, I'm repeating this to get the point across. Here, what we have is the Pharisees with sinners. They are trying to keep Jesus from people. They're trying to tell Jesus, you should not be with the sinners and the tax collectors. And so they grumble at him, right? They apparently didn't know the song yet. They probably didn't have Spotify back then. Not that this would be a Spotify song. It's kind of an old song, but we sing it here. Guilty, vile, and helpless, we are, you know, we are not the best thing since sliced bread, right? The song we sing, guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. There's not bad guys and good guys. We're all bad guys, the Bible says, before God's standard. Jesus is the only good guy. Jesus doesn't love good people. Jesus loves guilty people and calling them to himself, right? They both, whether it's the apostles or Peter or the Pharisees, everyone involved, and we ourselves need to hear our Lord, not only in what he came to do, which is clear away our sins at the cross, but in who he came to do it for. We need to hear not only what he came to do, but who he came to do it for. That's what Jesus was getting after in these verses. Jesus came to die for sinners like you and me and all who will call upon his name. Largely, commentary notes, this whole material, which you've opened your Bible to this evening, chapters 15, 16, 18, 19, is four chapters of Scripture that are all unique to Luke. And there's stories like the lost sheep, the lost coin, the little man Zacchaeus, right? And Jesus walks right into his home and right into his life with salvation. And so while we read that there, you know, there's no such thing as a social gospel, but there is a sinner's gospel. There is good news for the sinners. There is good news for the one who is cast out from society. This is who Jesus comes to save. And it's good news because the condition of our lostness, we share, and others, everyone shares with the people of these verses that Jesus came near to. The condition of lostness in sin is comprehensive, it's thorough, and it is a terminal spiritual condition. No one gets better from sinfulness on their own. That's why we have to be sought and found and saved. When we are spiritually lost in our sins, you guys could preach this to me as simple as I'm saying it to you, but the Bible describes us as perishing. We are relationally lost. We are physically dying. We are morally bankrupt. We're psychologically disconnected. We don't feel right. We don't think right. We don't react right. We're all bent out of shape, and it's all bad. And that's what makes Jesus coming to save us so good. And so the Pharisees use this title to harm with cruelty. Jesus is receiving sinners. But when Jesus says he's receiving sinners, he uses that title helpfully. It's not wrong to say that he receives sinners. Jesus uses that title helpfully in order to bring conviction, that he might call us to himself. So it's being called sinful. Being a sinner is not one of those bad words. It's one of the words Jesus uses that he might call us to himself. So, but note here that the Pharisees went beyond what was true and right. And in calling these people, people unworthy to come to Jesus, they went into what was false and wrong. And that's just a little side note in passing, that it is entirely possible to have the Bible in your hand, but not in your heart. And we just learned that in passing from the Pharisees. This man receives sinners. Yes, and he is rightly called the friend of sinners because he does receive them when they come to him. So we learn a good deal from the Pharisees to make sure the Bible is not only at hand. You can never get it in your heart if it ain't in your hand, right? For those of us who came out of Roman Catholicism or other culty things, we're so glad someone got us into the Bible, right? But having the Bible in hand, we need to make sure it's also getting into our heart and affecting the way that we interact with others here. But the point is not that Jesus is receiving unrepenting sinners. The point here is that the Pharisees are rejecting sinners who were willing to repent. You guys see what's taking place here, okay? And so Jesus is plainly calling them to repent. He's calling them to die with him, to sin through faith in his sacrifice, to live with him, to God, through the work he would finish on the cross for us. And Jesus models for us what it's like to be close enough to care for a sinner, close enough to see a sinner have conviction of sin, to call them to repentance to himself. And why does Jesus get this close to sinners? Because he is the cure. Because he is the cure. And that's love. That's love. That's hanging in there with them to open their eyes that they might see. This is our God. Before he stands far off in judgment, he comes near in salvation. And we need to hear our Lord and his work on the cross and who he came to do it for. And so we're building this this gospel road, this gospel sharing road, right? We're never told to decide who's been chosen. We are told to go and preach to people who are lost. You have the cure of eternal life, the only cure for those who have this comprehensive terminal condition. God bless you. God bless you. We have life in the name of Jesus. So, you know, we don't try to talk and listen at the same time. Some of us do, right? Some of us try to talk and listen at the same time. That's the old joke, right? Why did God give you two ears and one mouth? So you'd spend half as much time talking as you do listening, right? My math is bad, and I still struggle with that, right? But we don't try to talk and listen. We should not text and drive. It's always good to be reminded of that. But also, we should not grumble over the lostness of sinners and expect to have joy when we find them repenting. You can't do both. You cannot grumble over the lostness of sinners and expect to have joy when they repent and come home to Jesus Christ. So we need to hear from our Lord. And when we see the readiness that Jesus has to receive sinners, it makes us stop and first understand, do we know his grace for ourselves as sinners? It's not just other people who are sinners. Do you know the grace of Jesus Christ for you? Do you know the forgiveness of your sins? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? You know, one of the realities is if you grumble at the kindness Jesus has shown to others, if you grumble that Jesus is the Savior of others, it really brings up the question, do you know his grace for yourself? And so when we know his grace for ourselves, we know better. Rather than grumble about the grace offered to all, we want to glorify our God for the grace that he has shown. And we learn from this, too, that, you know, our Christian friendliness, this kind of graciousness, comes because Jesus has become our friend. You heard it growing up, you know, your parents told us, you know, make some good friends. Stop hanging out with Joey. There's no Joeys here, you know. Start hanging out with Billy. Why? Because Joey's a bad influence, and Billy's a better influence, right? Now, we've come to know Jesus, and he has become this loving influence upon us. You have become you have gained Christian friendliness because Jesus Christ has become your friend. That's who you learned it from. But the way you started is the way you continue. We have to stay in the habit of hearing from the Lord, right? You probably have people that are hard to love in your life. If you don't, just think for a moment. You may be one of the people who are hard to love in your life. You might be hard to love. You heard it here, Gateway Church, Old Brooklyn, right? These guys are holding hands. So, but we ourselves are hard to love, and we probably have people in our life who are hard to love, especially if you have to do it every day. That's really where the challenge comes in, okay? You might even, guys, you might even have a life that is hard to love. You might say, you know what? Some days are good, but I have many days in my life I don't love my life. And I just want to tell you this evening, that is okay, because Jesus Christ is your Lord and He loves you. He loves you, and you need to hear from the Lord that you will be able to keep loving like the Lord, right? You got people who are hard to love in your life? What's the answer? Not different people. You need to be in the habit of hearing from the Lord and remembering how He loves you and them, and you will find you are able to love the people who are hard to love. And though your life remains hard, I can't promise you life will get easier. It often doesn't. You will still be able to love the Lord who is better than life. That is the Christian hope. So we need to stay in the habit. I remind myself of this. I need to stay in the habit of hearing from the Lord. If I'm going to love like the Lord, I need to hear from Him constantly that this is how He loves. And that's where we find the strength. You can't change the people in your life. You can change some things in your life, but you, by and large, you know, you're not gonna suddenly, you know, boom, love your life overnight, right? You're gonna grow in a love for the Lord, who is better than life itself. Okay, now hoping in our Lord. Hearing from the Lord, hoping in our Lord. Verse 5, what does the good shepherd do? It says, and when he has found his lost sheep, I love that. Not when the sheep found his way back. Wandering sheep don't wander their way home. Never going to happen. It's when the shepherd found the sheep, and find him he does. And verse 5 says, when he has found it, he doesn't say, all right now, keep up, buddy, or you're going to get lost again. He lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost, right? It's great. I think the point is already clear that the sheep, the nightly count of the sheep would have been taken when they were brought into the pen, you know, 1, 2, 3. I remember when we did all the sports camps at Estabrook, that was one of the more stressful things I've ever done in life, you know. I got like 60 other people's kids out there and in Cleveland, and, you know, anytime you moved them back and forth, it was like, take a head count, you know, like 1, 2, 3, stand still, stop moving, you know. Got to make sure you didn't lose one, and if you came up short, you go running back to wherever, you know, you go back to the ball diamond, you know. You're like, thankfully, it was always a miscount. We never lost any of them out there, right? But a nightly count of sheep was taken, and if one was lost, the shepherd would leave the 99, then he would go searching for the one. And no doubt, the sheep would be lost, the sheep could be wounded, and the sheep would have to be carried. And that's the good news of Good Friday. Our sin crippled us, dead in sin, the Bible says. That dead men don't dig deeper. Dead men can't save themselves. Dead men can't find their way home. Spiritually guilty people can't pay God back. But the good shepherd takes sinners upon his shoulders. And we sung about it. Patrick so wonderfully led us in those songs. The shoulders of Jesus were broad enough to bear our sins and to place us guilty sinners upon himself and take away our sins. It's one of the most recurring things throughout all the Bible, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. We know John 3:16. Do you know 1 Peter 3:16? Actually, it might be 18. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous in our place, that he might bring us to God. Hebrews 9:28. Jesus Christ has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He is perfectly faithful. He kept all the Father's commands. He took away all the commanding power of the law when he kept it in his life. He took all of the condemning power of the law, every accusation of guilt for every sin we have ever committed. Jesus Christ said, give me the guilt. Give me the record of debt. He paid it in full, and he died to the law. He paid it in full, and the law is therefore dead to those who believe in Jesus Christ. No charges can be brought because the shoulders of Jesus were broad enough. You're carried safely into the arms of the Father by the one whose arms were pierced to the cross and took away our sins. We truly are shielded by the blood of Jesus Christ. We truly are hidden in the side of the Lamb. There is therefore now, today, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God. We can sing hallelujah. What a Savior. And so Jesus has taken this initiative, and truly Jesus Christ is the one who, it can actually be said of Jesus, he does receive sinners. That's why we hope in our Lord. And so he received us when we were first saved, what the Bible calls justification. And if you've come to be saved in Jesus Christ, you've believed in his gospel, you're now a follower of Jesus Christ, you are now trying to obey the Lord Jesus day by day. You need to hear the good news for us today, just like I do. Jesus still receives sinners. You are saved in Christ, but you still struggle against sin. You need to know Jesus still receives you. He's not like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're still a sinner. Jesus says, I know you're still a sinner. That's why I had to die on the cross to take away the guilt of sin. Now, let's talk about the grip of sin that you're stuck in. The death of Christ on the cross leads to the death of sin in the Christian. He knows we got sin. He says, come here, let's put this to death. He still receives you in sanctification. He still receives me in sanctification. If he receives me, I promise you he'll receive you. And he will receive you also, another big word, into glory, into glorification. When you die and you are buried, Jesus Christ will receive you because he receives sinners to raise them with himself. And so we find hope in the Lord. And verse 8, another wonderful story, right? What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search diligently until she finds it, right? It's wonderful to think of this picture. We don't have enough time to dwell on the woman and her lost coin, but obviously she is going after that thing, right? She's got the lamp because it's down low, it's dark, she's sweeping, she's going to find that coin and find that she does. And it just made me think about, you know, I remember when we got married, you know, I had to get insurance on my wife's wedding ring, right? Because she was just terrified she was going to lose it down the drain, you know, down the sink or something like that. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, if you think about Jesus, if he were to lose, when he is seeking something that is precious to him, Jesus is the plumber who is going to go down the drain. He's going in after it, right? If my wife lost that wedding ring down the drain, I'm not going to file a claim, right? I got the insurance, but that's not why you get the insurance. If you file a claim, it's going to cost more, right? So what am I going to do? I'm going to get out the wrench. I'm going to get out a bucket. I'm going to get my hands grimy. I'm going to find the wedding ring that went down there, right? And I just want you to be encouraged. Why you can hope in our Lord is Jesus does not intend to say, well, I tried, I lost that one. Or I saved that one from the guilt of sin. I couldn't finish them. I couldn't quite make them like myself. Jesus will never give up and just file a claim. He won't do it. He seeks and saves the lost. He goes after the lost sheep. He finishes what he started. The thought of giving up and filing a claim never enters Jesus' mind. He goes in after you, and praise be to God for that. So Jesus is more than a friend. He's the one deserving of all our faith, and this idea is repeated for us because our doubt of Christ's love for us needs to be met again and again, that Jesus will receive you. He will take you. He will put you on his shoulders. And so what does it matter, J.C. Ryle says, if the world mocks your repentance of having to come to Jesus again and again? You may even mock yourself. You may even despise yourself and your continued need of Jesus. But you need to hear the good news this morning. Jesus does not despise you in coming to him. He is glad to have you, and he is rejoicing. Again, another picture, you know, my Fiat, it loses hubcaps like it's its job. I don't know if the front wheels are too small or what the problem is. You know, I even had backup hubcaps, right? The cheap ones, you stick them on there. I was driving down across in front of Metro Hospital. That place is pretty lively, let me just say. You know, it's not quite the place. I don't go there unless I need medical attention. Let's just put it that way. And if I don't need medical attention when I'm driving by there, I don't plan on stopping, right? I hit a bad pothole the other month, and I hear, and I watch my hubcap, and it was flying off in the air. And I thought, well, there goes that one. I'm not going back for that thing, right? But Jesus doesn't do that with sinners he came to die for. He'll stop. He'll come back. He picks them up, right? These are the fancy hubcaps, right, Dad? He's going back for these things, right? He's not going to leave them out there. So you should find great hope in sharing the gospel, that when you preach the Christ who receives sinners. He is going to call people to himself. Jesus is seeking and saving the lost. They are precious in his sight, not because of who they are, but because of what he has prepared to be for them. So we should have a heart like our Lord, and we know this grace for ourselves. We are put here in Old Brooklyn. We continue to be here in Old Brooklyn to share this grace with others. People are lost. They're wandering. But Jesus Christ came not only as a suffering Savior, but he comes seeking lost sheep. And so we want to make sure, man, that the beat of your heart is keeping time with the melody of heaven, that you are rejoicing to see sinners repent. And if the words of your mouth are out of tune on earth, you can tune up your heart by the songs that are taking place in heaven. And no matter what the world thinks of you sharing the gospel with others, no matter how much mocking they give to the words of you're trying to tell them about Jesus, they're making fun of you 6 ways to Sunday. Listen, all heaven is rejoicing and watching you declare this gospel of Jesus who receives sinners to himself. So, praise God. Lord, thank you for the word. Thank you that when we open it, it reveals Jesus Christ to us. It does humble us, Lord, and shows us our sin, and it shows us just as quickly our Savior.